Last week we started number 39, but it's so big we didn't finish it, and that was wisdom. Anybody want to take a guess? What percentage of the book of Proverbs is about acquiring wisdom and understanding? Just take a stab. 70 is a bit high, but good guess. Anybody? 60, okay, we'll work our way. This isn't an auction, so it's 20%. 20% of Proverbs, which is still huge. One-fifth of the book of Proverbs is about acquiring wisdom. And that's big when you think about all that Proverbs covers, for one-fifth of it to be about acquiring wisdom. So last week we started this one, but let's do our last review of what we've covered so far, and then we'll dive in to wisdom, and then finish up with number 40, which is our Z word, zeal. So, boldness, commitment, compassion, commitment, diligence, discretion, faith, faithfulness, flexibility, in regards to reaching out to the lost, forgiveness, frugality, gentleness, goodness, grounded, helpfulness, holiness, honesty, humility, impartiality, integrity, joy, liberality, long-suffering, love, meekness, obedience, peace, prayerfulness, purity, quietness, receptivity to the word, reverence, servant-heartedness, soberness, temperance, thankfulness, unselfishness, watchfulness. What a list. So do we have our work cut out for us? Because we're to emulate every single one of those in our Christian life. And all of us are going to be weak in some of those areas and need work. Amen? And God is going to continue to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So last week we started looking at wisdom, probably the biggest one. And today we will finish that. Now next week we'll start a new study. Remember a couple years ago we had some surveys. One of the things that kept showing up and kept getting a lot of tick marks was the book of Psalms. Honestly, I've been hesitant about that because it's so big. So what we're going to start next week is we're going to do Psalms, but not all of Psalms. What we're going to do is we're going to go through it from different directions. So first, we're going to look at all the prophecies in Psalms. Then we're going to look at the penitential Psalms, and that sort of thing. So we'll look at it from different perspectives. To try to do all 150 Psalms, we might as well just accept it's until Jesus comes that we would be in there. So that's how we're going to approach it. So next week we will look at all the prophecies in Psalms. Over 130 verses in Psalms are prophetic. And then we'll look at the seven penitential Psalms and then look at it from perspective of what it teaches about the Word of God and things like that. So we'll just keep going through it from different directions. But today, let's finish talking about wisdom. We saw last week there in the introduction to Proverbs how we are to acquire wisdom and understanding, and that it only has one source, true wisdom. Amen? And that is from the Lord. Amen? So, Mr. Scott, if you could read for us Proverbs 2, 6 and 7.
For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly.
So notice that it comes from God. Directly from God. That's where we get true wisdom. And God in his graciousness wrote it down for us through the wisest man outside of Christ that ever lived. And Proverbs is filled with wisdom. Not just Proverbs, but it is our responsibility, as we saw last week, to acquire it. The only way we can do that is to be in the Word of God. On a regular basis, daily, we need to be in the Word of God, acquiring wisdom, and God promises many blessings to those who will do so. But first, let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom as we look into your book of wisdom, And Lord, grow us through your word. Thank you so much for teaching us these past few months and just pricking our hearts in various areas, Lord. And I pray that we will continue to grow in our faith. But even today, I pray that we would bring you glory in our response to your word and that you would guide us in your truth and you would be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. God is so good. So let's see what God promises to those who will acquire wisdom, some of the blessings. So notice Proverbs 3, 13 and 18, Howard. I know it's kind of a long passage, but it's a beautiful passage on wisdom.
Happy is the man that guardeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her.
So the world is looking for happiness, right? Always. Look what God says, beginning and ending of this passage. Happy is that man. Amen? Happiness. Let's look at some more. Proverbs chapter 3, 23 and 24. Mr. Cairns, if you could read that for us.
Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet.
The context here is acquiring wisdom, and look what God promises. Your foot won't stumble, you won't be afraid, and your sleep will be sweet. Those are some great promises to those that acquire wisdom. Let's look at a few more. Proverbs chapter 4, 5 through 12. Roy, if you could read that for us.
Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, and thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou walkest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble.
Amen. Preserve thee, verse 6. Promote thee, verse 8. The years of thy life shall be many, verse 10. Verse 12, thou shalt not stumble. These are some amazing promises to those who will acquire wisdom from God. Let's look at one more, Proverbs 8, 34 and 35. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us.
Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. Who findeth in finding, findeth life, and shall obtain favor in the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death.
So notice, findeth life, blessed is the man, shall find favor of the Lord. That's a lot of promises. If we will continue to acquire wisdom. So there's a lot of wisdom out there, especially now that we have the internet. But it's not God's wisdom. It's man's wisdom. And is there a difference? Absolutely, there is. And God warns us about man's wisdom all through the scriptures. But let's look at one particular warning, 1 Corinthians 3, 18 and 19. Nathan, if you'd read that for us. You know, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:22. This passage here, what does it say? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So there's man's wisdom, and there is God's wisdom. God's wisdom has one source, and that is His precious word. And if we want wisdom, which we're commanded to acquire, and God promises all these blessings to those who will find wisdom, we must be in His book constantly. And God will use it to teach us and give us wisdom and understanding. But man's wisdom is out there, isn't it? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You know the passage. But the end thereof are the ways of death. So man's wisdom leads to death. God's wisdom leads to blessings, life, and all these other things that we've seen. That's the difference. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him." Proverbs 26:12. So our wisdom must come from God and God alone, who is the source of true wisdom. Now, the devil hates God's wisdom, and it's always trying to lead us toward his wisdom, isn't he? And a good example of that is 2 Corinthians 10. Let's look there. Brad, if you could read that for us, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God.
Notice it says, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's what we get from the devil. Against the knowledge of God. So the devil's out there trying to fill our heads with man's wisdom, with his wisdom. We must be in the Word, therefore, to protect ourselves from this, where we will find true wisdom. There's another good passage, 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14. Mr. Scott, if you'd read that for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 13 and 14.
Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
So Paul here is talking about his own teachings, and he says, we're not teaching what man's wisdom teacheth. He says, we're teaching what the Holy Ghost teacheth, because it's directly from God. The Holy Ghost is God. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and then he explains how the natural man, which is the unsaved man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. And it takes the author to be the interpreter. Amen? So if you don't have the author living in you, then you won't understand it. It won't mean anything to you. So an unsaved person can study the Word, but they're not going to be able to, as it says here, spiritually discern it, because they don't have the Spirit of God. Their spirit is dead. They must have the Spirit of God. So true wisdom comes from God's precious Word. True wisdom, God promised all those blessings to us that we read about. And that's just a sampling, by the way. And it gives us discernment. Hebrews 5, Howard, if you'd read that for us, verses 13 and 14, talks about maturing in the Word and how it will give us the discernment that we need to serve Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, 13 and 14.
For everyone that is youth that useth milk is skillful and unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of
Amen. Discern. There it is again. Where does that discernment come? It comes from the Word of God. As we graduate from the milk to the meat of the Word of God, God gives us discernment. And discernment and wisdom are interconnected, aren't they? Discernment is the ability to use the wisdom to discern, as it says there, good and evil. to be able to know what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. Who defines those parameters? God in His Word. He tells us what's right. He tells us what's wrong. He tells us what's good, what's evil. So we must be in the book. And it will affect our behavior as we acquire wisdom. Amen? Brother Brent, if you could read Ephesians 5, 15 and 16.
Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil.
So notice it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So walk as wise, redeeming the time because the day. So God says if we're going to walk as a wise person, we're going to walk circumspectly, which is carefully. So it affects our behavior. Colossians 4, 5 is another one. Roy, if you'd read that for us. There it is. Walk in wisdom. And then James 3:13, Mr. Zeus. James 3:13, yes, please.
Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness or wisdom.
Who is a wise man? What does he say? Let him show that he's a wise man with what? A good conversation. That word conversation, talking about our entire demeanor, not just what we say, but what we do. So let him show that wisdom out of a good conversation. Amen? Wisdom not only gives us that discernment, but it gives us blessings, but it even affects our behavior. So God's command is that we continue to acquire wisdom, and its only source is this precious book. We must be in it, studying it, reading it, meditating in it, so that God will give us the wisdom that we need to serve Him and to live on this earth as a wise person. Amen? So thoughts or questions about number 39, wisdom. Now, we could have spent weeks and weeks on this, so just go read the book of Proverbs, the whole thing. And there's some people that like to read a chapter a day of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters. Then, you know, some months like February, you got to squeeze in a couple extra. But why? Well, that's where we find wisdom. Remember, 20% of the book is about the importance of acquiring wisdom, but the entire book is wisdom from God. Yes, Callum? So true. Yep. God's wisdom never exalt ourselves with God's wisdom, because we're told to be humble and meek. So wisdom even affects our tongue. Did you know that? Let's just look at that quickly and then we'll finish. Wisdom, Proverbs 17:27. Nathan, if you'd read that. Go ahead and read the next verse if you would.
Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding.
So notice how it affects even our speech. And then Proverbs 29:11, Brad. A wise man. So it even affects our speech. Wisdom affects everything if we'll keep acquiring it, keep living it. Amen. So that's number 39, wisdom. Thoughts or questions before we move on to zeal, our last one, number 40. Can't believe it. All right, let's get some memory verses for zeal. Romans 12:11 is a good one. So, Mr. Scott, if you'd read that, or actually, Isaiah, if you could read Romans 12:11 for us. See that word fervent? That is another synonym, if you will, for zeal, being fervent. And God says we're to be fervent in spirit. Amen? So that's a good memory verse. And then another one would be Titus 2:14. Mr. Scott, if you'd read that for us.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people.
There we go. God has purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So fervent, zealous, earnest, all of those are synonyms, but God wants us to be zealous for him. Amen? So what does zealous say to you? What do you think the word zealous means? Anybody? Yes, Isaiah.
Keen.
Okay, keen. What else?
Passionate.
Good, passionate. Any others?
Eagerness.
For me, it says on fire. You know, that Jesus talked about being cold or hot or lukewarm. Like most Christians are, what is his desire of those three? We all know. What does he want us to be? Hot, right? Wants us to be hot for him. Not cold, not lukewarm, but hot. That's zeal, on fire for God in everything. And he commands, as a matter of fact, in Revelation 3:19, let's go there. Actually, let's look at the contrast, what I just talked about. So, Howard, did you just read? No, could you read Revelation 3:15 to 19? This is Jesus rebuking the church at Laodicea. 15 through 19.
I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert hot, cold, or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see.
And 19.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
So Jesus just gave us the answer to this problem. Be zealous. Amen? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So he's talking about the church being lukewarm, thinking that everything was good, needing the eye salve. And he finishes by saying, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous. So be hot. Don't be cold. Don't be lukewarm. Be hot for God. Amen? And that is his warning and rebuke to not only the church at Laodicea, but to all churches thereafter, including us. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We're to be zealous in everything, even in our love. 1 Peter 1:22, Brent, if you'd read that for us.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
That word fervently, same word, as zealous. So love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently, with all you are, with all you have. Amen? Now there's one particular person, which is a very interesting story in the Old Testament, that God held up as an example of zeal for killing people. Imagine that. What was his name? Roy? You can read about it for us then in Numbers chapter 25, 11 and 13.
Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. For he was jealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel.
Because he was zealous for his God. So God is holding him up. It was Phinehas that stopped the plague. So a bit of background. Remember, Balaam, no matter how hard he tried, could not curse Israel. He wanted the money from Balak so badly, but God kept overriding. And every time he went to curse, he blessed. And so he gave Balak advice, which we find in the New Testament called the Doctrine of Balaam. Does anybody know what that doctrine is? The doctrine of Balaam? If you can't beat him, join him. His advice was, listen, no matter how hard I try, I can't curse Israel. But God has commanded Israel to be separate from the nations around them. So, go down and make friends and intermarry and intermingle. And then God will have to punish Israel. And there you'll get your curse in a roundabout way. And that's exactly what Balak did. He sent his people down there to make peace with Israel. They started intermarrying. And it led to a lot of sin and a lot of problems. And then God sent a plague on Israel. And it was Phinehas who took a spear and killed people who were having, you know, fornication in a tent, and it was in open view. And God stopped the plague for that act of Phinehas. So it's quite amazing when you think about it. And then praised him, as we just read here, for his zeal for God. So we're told in the scriptures to be zealous for God, to be fervent, as Jesus said, to be hot for God, and we're to zealously contend for the faith as well. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us in Jude 1:3. Pick a chapter, but verse 3. Jude 3.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
So that word earnestly, same as zealously. Earnestly contend for the faith. And God says that our zeal, if we have zeal for God, will even affect others. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:2. Nathan, if you'd read that for us.
For I know the forwardness of your mind, that I sent you to them of Macedonia, that was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many.
Your zeal hath provoked. Provoke isn't always a bad thing. Right? Hebrews chapter 10, provoke unto love and to good works. Here he's saying that this church, in their zeal for God, and this is, by the way, about giving, chapters 8 and 9 are both about giving, your zeal have provoked very many because you gave out of your poverty, you gave out of your need, and God blessed what you did, and your zeal have provoked very many. So it affected others. And then Hebrews 10:24, Brad, most of you know this verse, but notice what it says.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
So our zeal even affects others. Amen. When we're on fire for God, if we're not lukewarm or cold, it affects those around us in a good way. It provokes them to be zealous. Whatsoever that you do, do it heartily. Amen? Colossians 3:23. As to the Lord and not unto men. Heartily. With all your might. That's zeal. So God wants us to be zealous for Him. Thoughts or questions about our last, number 40, not least, our last Christian virtue, zeal. Next week we dive into Psalms. We'll do the prophecies first. Then we'll go back through and do the penitential Psalms. And we'll go back through and look at what it says about the Word of God and just keep going through from different directions. But next week, the prophecies of Psalms. Psalms has the second most number of prophecies of any Old Testament book. I know some people would have thought it would have been number one, but it's number two. So anybody want to guess what number one is? It's not Daniel. Even though Daniel's full of prophecy, it's a small book. Tanya? Isaiah. She got it spot on. Isaiah has more prophetic verses than Psalms. But Psalms has a lot, as we'll see next week. A lot of specific prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ and His time on earth.